copyrighted programs created by the Rio Grande Oil Company.
Long Beach Police calling all cars. Attention all cars to broadcast 68. The bank holdup. Suspect age 42. Height 6 feet. Weight 200 pounds. Red hair. Light accent. This man is armed. Watch the step, boys. That is all.
I would like to read a telegram just received from the head of the Rio Grande gasoline refinery. He says, we technical men at the refinery appreciate your truthful advertising of Rio Grande cracked gasoline. We are glad to testify that gasoline made by the Sinclair cracking process will more than live up to any claims you make in advertising. Signed, William Murray, Superintendent of Rio Grande Cracking Plant, Bendale, California.
Well, the only claim I've ever heard Rio Grande make is that cracked gasoline is used in more police cars and emergency equipment wherever it's sold than any other brand.
That claim is absolutely true. And where in the world could you find a better test for your gasoline? Police cars meet the same daily driving conditions that you do, and need emergencies besides. So the gasoline that performs best in police cars is obviously the best buy for motorists.
Sure, but I should think that cities would specify a higher quality gasoline than service station shelves.
That's true. Cities do have rigid specifications for the gasoline that's used in their police cars. Many gasolines don't equal these specifications. But Rio Grande Cracked exceeds every specification. It's better than the law requires. That's why so many cities have selected Rio Grande above all others to power their finest, costliest cars.
Well, that sounds like it might be too expensive for my car.
It doesn't cost you 1 cent more to buy the same Rio Grande cracked gasoline that is specified by so many cities. Every time you fill up from a Rio Grande cracked gasoline pump, you get exactly the same gasoline that police cars use. And you get a better gasoline than you pay for, because Rio Grande's patented cracking process has qualities you can't get in any other gasoline. And now it is our pleasure to introduce Detective Sergeant A.H. Wambacher of the Long Beach Police Department. Sergeant Wambacher.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a pleasure to appear on this great radio program, which for the past year and a half has done so much to acquaint the citizens of the West with the problems and accomplishments of their police officers. Our story tonight concerns the activities of a daring daylight bank robber whose depredations extended up and down the Pacific coast from Mexico to Canada. He was a difficult man with whom to deal, educated, cultured, intelligent. He was a greater problem than the ordinary gutter type of crook. So suave and smooth was his manner that he managed to keep his innocent bride in complete ignorance of the real source of his income. But in the end, he, like every lawbreaker, found that crime does not pay.
You're late.
I'm sorry, Carmen, but I was delayed.
Delayed from seeing me? Can you say you love me?
Well, I do. I was delayed getting you something. Here.
Oh, a lovely diamond ring. For me?
Yes, Anita. For you. If you will accept it as an engagement ring.
Oh, it is beautiful. Oh, you are so good to me.
I love you. I cannot tell you in words. I brought my violin with me. Maybe it will speak for me.
How do you play, Grishenka?
I will play you a song of our old Russia. Oh, sit for me. It might have been written for your smoldering black eyes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful.
Let me tell you how I feel. How much I love you.
Yes,
Rita. Will you marry me?
Grigor, Domchinsky, and Tanya are married. For several months, they live luxuriously, stopping at the best hotels, spending much of their time at resorts up and down the California coast. Then one evening, they are seated in the dining room at Aguas Calientes.
Enjoying yourself, Tanya.
Oh, it has been wonderful. The last 5 months have been the happiest in my life. After all, I suffered during the days of the revolution. I never hoped to be so happy.
I'm glad. Senor, bring us another bottle of champagne. Gordon Rouge 26. Si, senor. Be our last bottle of champagne, my son.
Our last one?
We must leave here tomorrow.
Where will we go then?
I don't know.
Oh, I would like to go back to Santa Barbara. We had so much fun there.
No, Bernice, the fun is over for a while.
What do you mean?
There's only $20 left.
What?
You did not think, Bernice, that this money lasts forever, did you?
I didn't know. I did not
think. Well, don't worry. We'll have some more soon.
Where will you get it?
I have made a connection.
A connection? Are you going into business?
Yes, not exactly. I have a friend who is a bootlegger.
Bootlegger? But Grigori, that is against the law.
Ah, it is a foolish law. The people of this country do not want it. They want liquor. There is money in selling it to them.
Yes, but...
What difference does it make to you, my son, using that? As long as I can get you fresh, you can take a nice place.
But you might be arrested. They might send you to prison.
Oh, no. You can always get out of trouble, even if you are arrested for bootlegging. There's little worry of that. My friend is very powerful.
But Grigori, I don't like
it. Don't worry yourself about it at all. I'll get the money, and all you have to do, Stanica, is to spend.
It is mid-morning, a few days later. There are only a couple of customers in a small branch bank in Long Beach when a burly man enters and, standing by the door, pulls out a big automatic.
Take him off. Fire.
This is the hose up and the one blows a big fire. The first person who lets the peep out of him is going
on
a one-way ride
with
his hammer,
Daddy. You heard me be fired. No one is getting a taste, lad. Come on, come on, come on, make it snappy. That's it. Now, all of you lie down on the floor.
That's all right. You don't have to hold your breath. But don't make any noise.
You and the gray suit, come here. Come here. Close the cage door. Now, get to work on this combination.
But
Come on, I know you know it. I've seen you work it a couple of times. Now open it up. Come on, snap into it. What's the matter? You're losing your nerve? Here's a nice fat cigar. Pop on that. Throw some smoke into you. Get your nerve up or I'll blow some smoke through you. That's more light. Now get back there on that stage. Get down on the floor and stay there. Remember, while I'm emptying the safe, I've got my gun right on you.
Now listen. Don't try calling for help for 5 minutes. It won't do you any good anyway.
A few moments later, Grigor Domchinsky joins his wife in a nearby rooming house.
What did you have to do for this?
Much. I drove a truck up to Los Angeles for it.
But it doesn't seem possible.
There's money in bootlegging, my Tommy, sir.
Please, sir. Your hair's right around the edge. Thanks, sir.
Oh, that? I just tried it that way so it would look as though I was a redhead when I had my hat on. Now, look. See it?
Why must you do that?
So no one will recognize me again. Now I must use these clippers and cut off the red hair. And here, over there, and more. There. Now, see? And a blonde again.
So that must be?
No, but one must be careful.
How would you wouldn't?
Oh, don't worry. I won't do it again. With this money, we can set up a little shop.
Why, I would like that.
Sure. And then we won't have anything to worry about. Now, listen, Tommy. I want you to put this money in these two boxes here and take it over to the hotel and it is on the beach. Leave it in the cupboard in our room.
But why?
Because I don't want anyone to see me. I'm going up to Rudolph in Huntington Park. And after you come back from Redondo, check out of this room and bring your bags to Rudolph.
Well, it sounds all very strange.
Don't question me, Tanya.
Think of this, my dear. In a couple of weeks, we'll be in San Francisco and we'll have our own place. Now do as I say.
Very well, Grandfather. Listen, they're starting. I wonder what's the matter.
Oh, probably the police are going up to that bank down at the corner.
Why, what's happening?
Oh, I don't know. There were a bunch of people around there when I came in. Another holdup, I suppose.
While Don Finsky busies himself flipping his tiger's guide lock, Sergeant Joe McClellan has arrived at the bank and is questioning the frightened employee.
Now, what does this man look like?
Well, he's a 7 feet tall.
He's
right here.
Wait a minute. Not all at once. For you, ma'am, can you describe this man?
Yes. He was a big fella, and I was just standing at Mr. Martin's window getting some shopping money. They're running his trailer down at the market.
Yes. My wife told me all about that this morning. Now, what did the man look like?
Oh, yes, of course. He was a big man, about you.
Yes, I heard you.
And he had red hair. And he said that the police would never get him alive.
Big man, red hair, said the police would never get him alive, huh? I think I know this fella. Well, let me get a look at that face. Say, who smoked this cigar?
I did. He stuck it in my mouth.
Who stuck it in your mouth?
Oh, the robber. Told me to smoke it and got up my nerves to open the safe.
And you smoked it?
Yes, and then after I opened the safe, he pushed me back into the cage. Just the cigar fell out of my mouth.
Did he get into the cigar?
Yeah, stuck it in my mouth.
Hermosa Flora.
What are you wrapping that dirty thing up for, Sergeant?
You never can tell what might be important, ma'am. And his fingerprints here.
No. He wore the gloves.
Sure, but he got smart once too often. The lone wolf has left a clue.
Yeah, but there are probably 1,000 men in Long Beach who smoke the same kind of cigars.
Sure, but you never can tell. This cigar butt might lead me to the right one.
Back in headquarters, McClellan set up with Detective E.L. Woodruff.
Well, Joe, what did you discover?
Well, he stopped every highway and street car line out of town, would he? Because he didn't get out of Long Beach.
Well, I know who he is.
Do?
Yep. He's the guy we call the Lone Wolf.
Lone Wolf?
Sure. That bird that's been holding up all these banks. The guy that always boasts he won't be taken alive.
Sure, I remember the guy. He described as a fake guy with red hair.
Yeah, that's the one.
He's good, we can knock him over. He's wanted all of them down the coast.
I know he is. I got a hunch about him.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, you've bottled up the highways and the streetcar lines out of town. He hasn't left, has he?
Oh, sure of that.
Okay, then he's still in town.
Yeah, but where?
That's where my hunch comes in. I think he's hiding in some rooming house right near the bank.
Why?
Oh, I don't know why, but that's the way I feel about it. You want to look over the neighborhood with me?
Sure. Come on.
Well, this street's as good as any to start on. The bank's there on the corner. This first house here has room for a sign in the window. I'll go in there, Woody, and you start on the other side of the street. If either of us gets a bite, we'll let the other one know. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck.
What is it?
You rent rooms?
Yes, I have one for rent. Does a big man with red hair room with you?
No, why?
Do you know of a big man with red hair in the neighborhood?
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't. Why do you ask?
He's a friend of mine.
No, he's not here.
Thank you very much.
Yes?
You a roomer who speaks an accent and has red hair?
Say, I'm 100% American. I wouldn't rent a room to no foreigner.
Good morning, little girl.
My mother says she doesn't want any.
Tell your mother I'd like to speak to her.
My mother says she doesn't want any.
But I want to talk. Good morning, sir.
Yeah?
Hey, have you got a boarder here who has red hair, a pretty big man?
Yeah,
I said, have you a boarder with red hair?
You can't hear so good.
Oh, no, I'm looking for a man, a big man.
Oh, the biggest tank we got is a big tank. Yeah. What's wrong with it?
Oh, no, you don't understand.
I better leave it all, man. I can hear you all the way across the street.
Okay. So long, Pop.
Where are you going, son? Unless you look at that big tank.
No.
Oh, all right.
Well, Woody, any luck?
No, not a thing. How about you?
Nothing at all. Maybe my hunch is wrong. We covered four square blocks and hadn't found a thing. Hey, Woody.
What?
See that pair of legs crossing that yard over there? Under those clothes on the line?
Yeah, what about it? Starting to look like that they're attractive.
Did you stop at that house?
No. Signs or anything to indicate that there's a woman.
Now, there's a girl down the street, carrying a suitcase.
No, there's no law against that.
My hunch is working again, Woody. I want to see what's in that bag.
Get no right to search your bag. It'll be good your authority.
I'll take a chance on that. Come on. Oh, just a minute, ma'am.
What is it?
We're police officers.
Oh, I see.
We're making a little investigation in the neighborhood, and I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to open your bag for me.
Is that something like customs inspection?
Yeah, something like it.
Very well. Here's the key to it for the bag.
Oh, thanks. Leaving town, will you?
No, just going to visit some friends.
Magazines, perfume, stockings. Hey, Woody, look here.
What?
A box of cigars. And most of floors. The same kind he smokes. I'm sorry, ma'am, but you'll have to come to the station with us.
You realize, don't you, Mike, that this woman may sue us for false arrest. She hasn't anything on her.
Yeah, I know that, but there's something wrong about this thing. Really? No nice, clean-cut young woman like she seems to be carries a box of big cigars wrapped up in her undies.
Oh, boy, we're taking a chance.
Maybe so, but I'm going to question her as soon as the matron gets through searching her. I grant you, there isn't a thing but the vaguest clue of those cigars linking her to the holdup, but it's worth risking. Oh, come in. Oh, it's you, Mrs. Sullivan. Well, have you searched the prisoner?
Yes, sir.
Did you find anything?
Nothing but this.
She with a celluloid tag marked 717. Where'd you find her?
In her shoe.
In her shoe? That's a strange place to carry a key. Where is the woman?
She's outside.
Now bring her in.
Will you come in, please?
Hey, won't you sit down?
Thanks.
Now, please understand that we're forced to cause you this annoyance as a matter of investigation in a very important case. No suspicion is directed at you personally, but it'll be necessary for us to ask you a few questions.
By all means. And for my part, I want you to understand that I am for law and order. I don't know what this is all about, but if I can help you in any way, I will only too glad to do so.
Well, that's fine. Glad to see you take that attitude. I can assure you you'll not be detained any longer than is absolutely necessary. Now, what is your name, please?
Mrs. Edith Stanley.
Mrs. Edith Stanley. Oh, you have an accent. Are you a foreigner?
My accent is French.
I see. I'm interested in those cigars in your suitcase, Mrs. Stanley. Who do they belong to?
My husband.
Your husband? Where is he?
Why, I was on my way to meet him in Laguna Beach. We were going to spend the weekend there. He asked me to bring him some cigars.
Well, what is your husband's business?
He's a manufacturer.
Well, where is his factory located?
In St. Louis. We asked here for a little trip.
I see. And this key with a celluloid tag bearing the number 717.
I'd rather not say.
I'll have to demand an answer, Mrs. Stanley. The matron found this key in your shoe. That, you must admit, placed a certain suspicion upon us. You were hiding it for some reason. Now, what was that reason?
May I count upon your honor as an officer and a gentleman?
Naturally.
You will keep this confidential.
As far as duty permits.
As you can see, I have no connection with any investigation you're making, and this thief is a personal matter, a very personal matter.
Nevertheless, I must insist you tell me what this key opens.
This is the key to the apartment of a friend of my husband. He has become a very good friend of mine. I couldn't help it if this happened. Since my husband were to know, it would make me terribly jealous. He might do anything to me, and to this friend of ours.
I see. Well, Mrs. Stanley, that's your problem, not ours. And certainly we haven't the time to interfere in your domestic problems.
Oh, thank you.
I trust you'll forgive our detaining you.
Of course. I may go, then.
Very shortly. The matron will make you comfortable.
But why?
Just a routine matter of checking up on your identity.
Oh.
Take Mrs. Stanley away, Mrs. Sullivan.
Oh, that's...
And treat her with every consideration.
Yes, sir.
But she said...
It'll only be a matter of a couple of hours, Mrs. Stanley.
Oh, but you must be... You can't.
Come along, ma'am. And quietly, please.
Yeah, you're crazy, Max. It's on the plausible side.
Yeah, too plausible. I'm going to check up on it.
What's with you, Max?
Everything else she told me may have been the truth, but she lied once.
When was that?
And she said she was French. Her accent is Russian.
That doesn't prove anything.
Maybe not. But our big man with the red hair had an accent, and he smoked Hermosa Flora cigars. This woman has an accent, and she carried a box of Hermosa Flora cigars in her bag and a key in her shoe. Come on, Woody.
Why... What are you going to do now?
I'm going to try to find the hotel this key belongs to.
You may spend a couple of years trying to do that.
Okay, but partner, there's something smelly in this case besides the brand of cigars. Come on. At rooming houses, at small hotels, at large hotels, at locksmiths and hardware stores, the two detectives inquire for information regarding the mysterious key. The day slowly passes in futile, fruitless searching. And then, early in the evening, discouraged, they enter a small hotel on the pike.
Yes, sir, gentlemen. Like a nice room looking out over the ocean?
No, not tonight. With the waters.
Oh, I see. Well, what can I do for you?
Do you use a key like this here?
No. No, our keys have metal tags on them like this, see?
Well, have you any idea where this key might come from?
Let me look at it. Oh, sure. I know where it's from.
You do? Where?
Well, the beach house at Redondo. I worked there last summer. That's one of their keys.
The beach house at Redondo, huh? Okay, buddy. Thanks. Come on, Woody.
Accelerated to the floor, siren open wide, McClellan and Woodruff streak northward to Redondo Beach. At the beach house, they interview the manager.
Is this one of your keys?
Yeah, why?
Who's it belong to?
What do you want to know for?
Who are you?
McClellan of the Long Beach Police Department.
Well, you must be on the wrong track. Folks to occupy that room aren't the kind of people police are looking for.
Well, who does occupy the room?
And his wife of the name of Don Kinski.
Don Kinski, huh? Russian?
Might be, I guess.
Do they have an accent?
Yeah, I think they do.
Well, you see, Woody, it all fits.
Yeah, so far.
Well, they're fine people. The man's a musician. Plays a violin.
Yeah, just in New York on a vacation.
Well, the story changes. They're from New York this time, Woody. Are these people in?
Oh, I don't know.
Ring their room. If they answer, give them some alibi. Say you made a mistake or something.
But look here. These folks are on the level.
Ring their room. You haven't any time to wait.
Oh, very well. No answer.
We'll go up.
Now, look here. I object to my guests being annoyed.
Now, listen. You've been in this game long enough to know better than to interfere with a police investigation. Now, you sit tight, and if these people come in, you ring us and let us know.
Oh, very well.
Is the elevator running?
Yeah.
Well, looks pretty good, Woody.
Yeah, but I'm not convinced yet. I don't believe in circumstantial evidence. Hang too many innocent people.
Now, hold your horses, partner. You can never tell what sort of evidence we might turn up. Well, here we are. Well, where's 717?
Right here, across the hall.
Fine. Hear anything?
Yes.
Get your gun out and let's go dancing then.
Right.
I open the door, you cover the room, and I'll snap on the light.
Right.
Well, nobody home. Well, let's take a look around.
In this drawer, there's a violin case and a table.
Open it up.
Yes.
living in it.
Nothing but a violin. What'd you expect to find, a harp?
Hey, what's the big idea?
I just seen if I could play it. You see, things aren't strung like yours and Lily.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. Let's take a look in that closet, will you?
Yeah. A lot of clothes. A pair of shoes.
Hey, what's this on the shelf?
It's like a hat box to me.
It's still my quivering hunt. Hey, can you reach it, Woody?
No. You're a little taller. You tried.
Oh, it's a mighty high closet. You got to rest up here.
Hey, look out, Mac. It's falling.
Well, Woody, what do you think of my hunt now?
I guess you're right. If you go, this is the entire hole from the bank.
Now, let's count it. Here's 500.
Yeah, here's three packages of $1,000 apiece.
The bank's wrapper's still on them. Yeah. Now, let's see. Four more. 15, 20, 22,
22,500,
23.
Six grand more.
That's it. Every penny of it. $29,000.
Yeah, but we haven't got the lone wolf yet.
If our luck lasts, we will. Let's go.
We need now to stake out on this spot.
Yeah, the boys here in the Donda Beach will help us on that. You got that, Bill?
Right here under my arm.
Well, now maybe this wise guy will believe us.
Well, boys, any luck?
Yeah, $29,000 worth.
What?
Yeah, so is the Long Beach Bank today.
Yeah, stick it in your face.
Well, I can't understand. Why, Mr. Domzinski seemed to be such a...
Yeah, I know. They usually do. Any mail in his box?
Yeah, a letter came for him today.
Let me see it.
There you are.
Yeah. Igor Domzinski. He's sent to an address in Huntington Park and forwarded here.
Very important, Max?
No, but apparently our man's a good friend of the people in Huntington Park. The bird that's writing the letter sends best regards to Rudolph and his family.
Yeah, well, next call's in Huntington Park, then.
Right.
So what do you want me to do with this money?
Keep it in your safe. We'll be back for it. And if Domzinski comes in, don't say anything about us being here. In a few minutes, some officers will be here to wait for him.
Very well. But I can't believe that the fine man is such an officer.
Again, the two officers scream through the night in their high-powered police car. And as they decimate the distance separating Redondo Beach and Huntington Park, Chief Yancey of Long Beach and the shotgun squad, warned by McClellan, is also heading for the Huntington Park address. It is close to midnight when the two officers quietly approach the house. An old man is seated breathing in the front room. McClellan taps gently at the door, fearing to sound a general alarm by ringing the bell. A moment later, the old man answers the door.
Is Mr. Domzinski here?
Why, yeah. But he's asleep.
We're police officers.
Police officers, Wild?
The house is surrounded. Let's not make any noise.
But what do the police want with my friend, Igor?
Your friend, Grigor, is a notorious bank robber.
Oh, there must be some mistake. I'm sure he isn't a bank robber.
We're positive he is. The room's in.
Right at the head of the stairs.
Let's go, boys. And be ready for anything. This guy's tough.
Hey, the door's open.
Yeah. There he is. The moon's shining right across the bed. Turn on the light.
Come on, Domzinski. Wake up. You're under arrest.
Why?
Keep your hands away from that pillow. I'll empty this shotgun into you. Set the cuff on him, Tom.
All right. Forgot me.
Put your head under the pillow, Woody.
Red tie for the 45.
Yeah. Well, Domzinski, I thought you said we'd never take you alive.
I didn't intend to shoot. It's all part of the game, I guess. And I was going to go straight. This was going to be my last job.
Don't worry about that, Domzinski. It will be your last job for a long, long time.
Domzinski confessed and pled guilty and was sentenced to serve 40 years in San Quentin Penitentiary. Should he ever be paroled, he faces trial and possible conviction in the state of Washington for a bank holdup in Seattle. his poor misled bride was quickly released from jail, heartbroken and disillusioned at the revelation that her husband was a bank robber. Out of deference to her feelings, wherever she may now be, in tonight's broadcast, we have referred to her and her husband by fictitious names. The story you have heard tonight is true. These weekly dramatizations are based upon facts obtained by Rio Grande investigators from confidential police files. Because Rio Grande provides the cracked gasoline which powers police cars in so many large western cities, we are in close touch with police work. Tonight, Rio Grande has entertained you. Tomorrow, Rio Grande will thrill you. Just fill your tank with cracked gasoline, and Rio Grande will give you police car performance in your own car. Long Beach Police calling all cars, attention all cars, the cancellation of broadcast 68 regarding a bank holdup. The suspect in this case is now in custody. That is all. Your narrator, Frederick Lindsley, bidding you good night for the Rio Grande Oil Company.